This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Neil Conan is away. Eating right has never been easier, or has it? It seems we are inundated with sometimes conflicting claims about food. We know we should avoid too much sodium and sugar. We've been told time and again that foods with low cholesterol, no trans fats, and more fiber are good for us. But which foods will really help us achieve a healthy diet? Can we believe everything we read on food labels? When is healthy really healthy, and when is it just a marketing campaign? The Hannaford Supermarkets, a chain in the Northeast, says consumers are very confused, so they decided to do something about it by rating the nutritional value of all the edible items they sell. Now, if you visit one of their stores, a system of stars will guide you through the aisles. But who and what gets a star or no star is also causing some controversy. Later this hour, South African singer-songwriter Vusi Moshlasela stops by for a performance. But first, healthy eating. A stroll through the grocery aisle has become a maze of confusion for many. So what is healthy? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is talk@npr.org. Karen Epstein is spokesperson for Hannaford Supermarkets, and she joins us now from her office in Scarborough, Maine. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Now, first of all, Hannaford rates all its edible items. So just how many products are we talking about?
Just over 27,000.
Wow, that takes a long time, I would think.
Well, the program itself, from the time that it was conceived through its inception, took us about 2.5 years.
And how many people were working on that? I mean, how many people did you have rating those items, and what kinds of criteria did you use?
Well, we probably had, at any given time, we had an advisory board that was made up of nutritionists, MDs, and public health professionals. We had the people who had to scan every single label, and then we had the group of people who designed the algorithm through which we put all of these items. So at any given time, could have been 15, 20, or 30 people working on the project.
So this was a real investment on the part of the Hannaford chain. Why did you decide to do this?
One of the reasons that Hannaford has managed to stay in business for over 125 years is that we stay very closely connected to our customers. And going back 2.5, 3 years, we asked our customers where they felt that we could help them. And what they told us is that they were concerned about issues ranging from childhood obesity to disease management. And they were confused about the conflicting nutritional information, the number of products, label confusion, and different needs for different family members. And that was the genesis for Guiding Stars.
Huh. Or explain the rating system, this Guiding Stars rating system. How does it work?
The system is based on 100 calorie serving size, and it credits foods for the presence of vitamins, minerals, fiber, and whole grain, and it debits the trans fats, saturated fats, cholesterol, added sodium, and added sugar. And the reason that we used 100 calories was in order to level the playing field between foods due to variations in manufacturers' recommended serving sizes. And one of the things I think that's really important about the program, Lynn, is we didn't recreate the wheel here. The algorithm supports 2005 USDA dietary guidelines, and it's based on the nutrition facts labels and the USDA National Nutrient Database and information from organizations like the World Health Organization, Health and Human Services, and other leading health organizations. All we did was create a simple, easy-to-use tool to help our customers locate the most nutritious foods in the store quickly and easily.
So it's no star, one star, or two stars, is that correct?
It's 0 stars, 1, 2, or 3 stars, with 1 star signifying good nutrition, 2 stars better, and 3 stars best. There are no bad foods. This is just to help people make better nutrition choices. It recognizes that people are still going to purchase salty snacks, cookies, and other treats. So what it does, essentially, is identify the most nutritious items in each category.
All right. I have to ask you about one. Milk, whole milk, a food a lot of us were raised to believe was the healthiest thing you could eat or drink. Your parents always said, drink milk with your dinner or lunch or whatever. And as I understand it, and I understand there's a lot of fat in whole milk, but as I understand it, it got no stars at all.
Correct. Because it is so high in fat. And it doesn't have vitamins, minerals, fiber, a whole grain. Obviously, it doesn't. It couldn't have whole grain or fiber in it. But yes, based on our system, no fat, non-fat milk did get stars, and whole milk did not.
Now, are people surprised to hear something like that? Do you get any surprised reactions from your customers of the decisions?
They were less surprised, Lynn, about milk than they were about things like yogurt, for example. The assumption being that all yogurt is healthy, and only plain, no-fat yogurt got 3 stars. Most yogurt, because it has fruit in it, is very high in sugar.
Well, and a lot of items that people think of as healthy or that are promoted as healthy, in fact, got no stars. One in particular, V8 vegetable juice, which a lot of people think is a very healthy choice. Healthy choice dinners and lean cuisines, things like that, got no stars.
Let me stress that this is not about health. This is about nutrition. We don't suggest by any means that this is a diet plan. We suggest only that the program is designed to help customers locate the most nutritious foods.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have you heard from any of the manufacturers? Have any responded with criticism to this idea?
I didn't hear of any criticism. I did read a couple of comments in the New York Times and was very interested to see the follow-up letters that the Times received that essentially took issue with the vendors and manufacturers. One of the reasons that I think we did not have pushback from our vendors was we brought them in before we launched the program. We explained to them that we look at them as partners, and candidly, they're hearing the same thing from the people who are buying their products as we heard from our customers. And we do look at our vendors as partners, and we made it very clear to them that we were not going to merchandise, market, or advertise our products any differently than we did before this program came into being. But we have found that since we implemented the program back in September, several of our vendors have, in fact, reformulated their products.
We're talking with Karen Epstein, spokesperson for Hannaford Supermarkets, about the supermarket chain's system for helping customers determine nutritional choices when they're in the grocery store. If you have any questions for her or would like to join the discussion, give us a call at 800-989-8255. And we're going to take a call now from Mary, and she's in Redding, California. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. We lived outside the country for a while, and I've noticed other cultures eating high-fat diets. And in America, we have choices to eat healthy, high-fat foods. Have you considered those foods like grass-fed meats and those dairy products from grass-fed cows and omega-6 fatty foods?
Unfortunately, Mary, the USDA guidelines and the FDA guidelines don't rate those foods any differently. They still look at issues like vitamins, minerals, fiber, and whole grain, and trans fats, fat fats, cholesterol, et cetera. So they don't look specifically at grass-fed, and we were relying and are relying on this program on the nutrition facts labels and the USDA National Nutrient Database. And unless they consider those elements in their guidelines, we do not.
Well, thank you. Perhaps you'd like to talk to them a little bit more about those issues.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Mary.
You're welcome.
I'm wondering what kind of a reaction you've gotten both from your customers and also from other grocery store chains. Are they asking, are you getting inquiries from grocery store chains in this country or stores from around the world about this system you've put in place?
The reaction from our customers has been both overwhelming and positive. I can tell you in all the years I've been in the supermarket business, we have never had as many favorable calls and contacts about anything as this program. We've gotten calls from as far and emails from as far away as Kuwait City and Ireland and people like Mary on the other side of the country. So customer feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. As far as other supermarket chains, I can't speak for any other chain. I can say that I think many of them are taking a wait-and-see attitude about this.
Mm-hmm.
We were the first ones out of the box on this, and I think people are waiting to see what customer reaction is going to be.
All right, let's see if we can get one more call before we have to go. Janet in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Janet.
Hi. Thank you. I really herald the Hannaford's program to do this to help the public understand things. For those people who are healthy and who really are fit and they already know quite a bit about nutrition, I'm wondering if they might have had questions about how you treated nutrients such as the cholesterol and other good things found in eggs, for example, and for example, other things that may have a negative attribute like the cholesterol in that. Something else would be the fat in flavored soy milks or, say, things that have these balancing things. If there are any qualifying explanations as to, like, if you have young children,
mm-hmm.
or people who don't have such a wide palate, in that the trade-off in having some of those things is far better than not having them in the house. A young person may just choose pop when they go out or candy bars.
All right, Janet, we're going to run out of time, so Karen answer your question. Thanks so much. We're going to run out of time. So, Karen, go ahead.
Okay, very quickly. We had a different scoring model for dairy because, for example, meat, poultry, seafood, dairy, and nuts, we had a different scoring model to address the inherent nutrient differences. So I think we did address that. When it comes to children, for example, we did not rate baby food because children under the age of 2 have different nutritional requirements than those over the age of 2.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Karen.
It was my pleasure.
Karen Epstein is a spokesperson for Hannaford Supermarkets, and she joined us from her office in Scarborough, Maine. We're talking about healthy eating and how to know what's healthy and what's not, and we are taking your calls at 800-989-TALK. We'll continue our discussion after a short break. If you'd like to send us an email, the address is talk@npr.org. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Lots of foods claim to be healthy or low fat. Today we're talking about how you know what is really good for you and what is just hype. We'll talk with a consultant who works on food labels in a few minutes. Right now we want to hear from you. How do you decide what is healthy and what isn't? Give us a call at 800-989-TALK and our email address is talk@npr.org. Lillian Sonnenberg is a nutritionist and senior manager at Massachusetts General Hospital's Ambulatory Nutrition Services. She joins us from member station WBUR in Boston, Massachusetts, to help sort out some of the confusion about healthy eating. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
What do you hear from your patients? Do people tell you that they're confused when they go to the grocery store about what's good for them and what isn't?
Well, I think there's just a lot of information out there, so I think that people are generally confused in terms of trying to make selections. However, I want to say that I think a system such as the Hannaford one is really an excellent way to help people to navigate through the supermarket.
Why? What makes it an excellent tool?
Well, I actually went to the supermarket yesterday, and I spent a couple of hours there going through and looking at the system. I had heard about it in the New York Times, and I was really curious to see it. And what I found really interesting was that, first of all, it's a very positive approach. It's, as the spokesperson said, the focus is on nutrition. It's trying to help people look at what are the most nutritious foods in the supermarket. The difference here is that instead of just looking at one nutrient, for example, how much fat is in something, how much saturated fat, it's really giving you a balanced look at a food in terms of its nutritional value. So if you were to go into Hannaford's, and I'm not a spokesperson for them, but if you just use the STAR system, you would be able to build a really good core foundation for a nutritious diet. Just by using that system.
It's interesting because one of the last callers that we just heard brought up eggs, for instance.
Right.
High in cholesterol, and yet a food that in many ways is very good for you. It gives you a lot of protein. It seems to me there's a number of of foods like that that may have something bad but something good. And that's where I wonder, you know, I wonder how good this system is. How does it handle
Well,
it?
Well, I think in looking at the system, there's no perfect system. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, I think it's getting back to the eggs. The eggs did not have a star, and I thought that was interesting. I caught that, although they did have a product that's made out of egg whites that did have a star. So in my mind, I figured it was the cholesterol that didn't give it a star. I think the thing to keep in mind with a system like this is that this is, again, the core of your diet. It's not restricting you from eating other foods. And I think with the system, it might be nice if they had sort of a honorable mention category, because I think what triggered me about the eggs was I think this is a good education piece. For example, you know, I sat there saying, okay, why didn't this get a star? Because they haven't really published their specifics of their guidelines yet, because in their material they said it's patent pending. So they haven't really spelled out specifically what are going to spelled out the nutrients, but they haven't spelled out the exact numbers for the nutrients. But obviously, something gets labeled as low cholesterol if it has less than 20 milligrams of cholesterol. Eggs have almost 300 milligrams. But I do agree with you. Eggs are a good food, so that I think something like this system is, it's about labeling the foods, but the other piece is education. It has to go hand in hand.
And so is this most helpful, would you think, for helping a customer deal with, you know, some of the claims that you see on boxes, low fat, healthy choice, you know, the kinds of things that you see that people may think they're making a good decision, and in the end they're not? Is that where it's most valuable?
Exactly. I think that what's happened with us is we've gotten very focused on just one nutrient in a food. For example, the amount of fat in something. So if we lower it, we're starting to say it's healthy. Or if we lower the sodium in the fat in the food, we're saying it's healthy without looking at the whole food. So, for example, I think a lot of people got on the low-fat bandwagon and started eating everything that had low fat, but it still had a lot of calories, and it didn't do them any good in terms of picking a nutritious diet. I think one of the things we need to do is get a lot of the health food claims off of the packages, because I think that is confusing. There are a lot of health food claims, and people, you know, are finding that confusing. I think this was something interesting. You mentioned the V8 juice. This is interesting. Mm-hmm. The V8 juice didn't get a star. However, it got a check mark from the American Heart Association, because the American Heart Association used a different cutoff point for the amount of sodium. They used a higher a level of sodium. So that, again, that could be something confusing to people, because different systems might use different ratings. But in general, I think that, like, if you went back to the system and followed it, you would be able to pick a healthy diet.
Or let's say somebody is trying to lose weight, which we want people to do these days, right? We're concerned about obesity. And one way for them to do it is to buy lean cuisine and have that for lunch. It's a portion control kind of thing.
Right.
But lean cuisine or one of those kinds of products is high in sodium, probably didn't. I don't know what their system was, but I would guess maybe it didn't get a star because of the sodium content. See, there's all those kinds of choices to be made that just one system doesn't solve everything.
Right. And I think, again, no system is perfect, but I think that's where the education piece comes in, to educate people about why didn't the lean cuisine make it into the category. And in this case, it's probably the amount of sodium in it, even though it's probably that kept it out of there. But again, I still think it's a good product, and it's something that can fit into your diet. I think the thing to think about is that all foods do fit into a person's diet, but people need guidance in terms of how they should build that diet. Right. And one of the things I thought was interesting when I went through their supermarket, and in their literature they say, you know, 94% of fruits and vegetables had a star on it. And that's just reinforcing the message we've been trying to get out, that people need to eat more fruits and vegetables, whereas when you go into the bakery section, only 5% have stars. Okay. So, again, I think it's a good education tool. And another thing I was thinking about when they said they're responding to their customers, you know, it might be good to take your kids to the supermarket, and kids really respond to reading labels and looking at things like this, and having them go to the cereal aisle and just have them pick the ones that have stars.
Right.
And get them involved in terms of choosing a healthy diet.
Okay. Let's take a call now from Steve. He's in Boulder, Colorado. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I'm really intrigued by where the conversation has gone, which is about presenting information in a way that people can make useful decisions. Because 15 years ago, I was part of a consumer advisory committee for the FDA on what were then the new food labels. And amazingly, we gave them some incredible suggestions, some similar to what have just been discussed. And they rejected all of them with rather amazing arguments. One of them, we had an idea of a red, yellow, green, like a stoplight for certain nutrients about based on the ideas people had about what was good or bad at that time. And they said, well, we can't do that because generics, we can't force generics to print in four colors. Even though at that time there wasn't one generic product you could find that wasn't already printing in four colors. So it's been amazing to me seeing how the FDA or places where they could regulate some of the presenting some of this information have actually been really reluctant to do so. And what it seemed to us on that advisory committee was they were highly, highly influenced by the food manufacturers, especially the dairy and meat industry.
Well, it's interesting that a supermarket chain has initiated this system, and according to a spokesperson, apparently hasn't gotten too much pushback from their vendors.
Well, I love that, and I love that it's starting from the bottom up, and it's been a fight that's been going on for a long time to make this happen from the top down, and hopefully this will help, you know, get the argument going from the other side as well.
All right, thanks for your call, Steve. All right, we're going to take another call. We're going to go to Sandra, and she's calling us from Alaska. Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, I am really curious about labeling products as GMOs or genetically modified and, you know, the requirements there, because I've been hearing I have a lot of friends that are into health food and eating healthy and hearing a lot of stories about genetically modified foods and how they're have some bad effects on people, yet there doesn't seem to be requirements for labeling them as such.
Lillian Sonnenberg?
Yeah, I really don't know that much about that, so I really can't respond to that.
All right, we'll see if we can find an answer. I'm sorry, we don't have the answer for you, Sandra.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
We have another guest coming up who shortly, who works on food labeling. She might know something about that. Maybe I'll ask her about that when she's on. So keep listening.
Okay.
Thanks so much for giving us a call. And so this is a whole new area that we haven't yet gotten completely into yet, Lillian, this area of genetic modification.
In terms of the labeling?
In terms of labeling.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take one more call from Larry in Naples, Florida. Hi, Larry.
Yes, do you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm interested in fiber. I look for things that are tasty but have fiber in them because I know I need 25 to 30 grams. Doctors told me. I just know that about myself. And so I'm kind of interested in fiber and particularly in cereals now that talk about being whole wheat and having fiber. And when you look at the label, they have maybe 2 grams of fiber per cup, which isn't much for someone who's looking for 25 to 30 grams over the course of a day.
So it sounds like you read those labels pretty carefully.
Yeah, I need to. I mean, for health reasons, I need to.
Yeah.
Right. Well, as far as the fiber goes, anything that has 3 or more grams of fiber per serving is considered high in fiber. And as far as cereals go, things like your all-brand cereals, if you look at those labels, a serving of those has about 10 grams of fiber. So using something like an all bran and combining it with some other cereals such as bran flakes or Cheerios just to add some taste and diversity would give you a pretty high fiber start in the morning. And remember that you also get fiber from things like beans, kidney beans, chickpeas, fruits and vegetables too. But I think having something with a lot of fiber in the morning is a good way to sort of start the day to get towards that 25 grams a day that you're trying to get to.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Larry. So how do food product manufacturers analyze exactly what's in that frozen dinner package or that can of soup in order to say that it is healthy? Well, sometimes they hire someone like Lauren Swan. She's a nutrition consultant who specializes in food labeling and marketing communications, and she joins us now from her office in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, let me clarify. Some of your clients are food companies like Kraft, for example, but you also analyze food for the American Heart Association. Maybe you can explain.
I've done consulting for all different areas, public sector, private sector, so industry as well as public health organizations.
So how do you go about determining what goes into a product and then what can be said on the label about that product?
Well, there are two ways to determine the nutritional composition of a product. The way that a lot of large companies use is to send the product to a laboratory that performs a chemical analysis, and they get a laboratory report that tells them all the nutrients in there, the fat, the sodium, the sugar, all of that. The other way, which is what a lot of companies use that are smaller, and some of the larger companies use this method as well, that is what we consider theoretical or calculated, where they take the product formula or recipe, all the ingredients and the amounts, and run it through a software program, and they get a printout of what is in that product.
All right. Let me just tell my audience that remind you that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Maybe we can take a specific product and you can explain how you might analyze it. We were talking earlier about lean cuisine, for example. How would you go about making a determination about lean cuisine for labeling purposes?
Well, again, the company can send it to a lab or they can run the ingredient nutrient profiles through a software program. And once they get that printout, once they get the nutritional information for the reference amount or serving size, because those products are usually portion-controlled, prepackaged, FDA does have their criteria for use of the term healthy. Now, use of the term healthy isn't exactly the same as a health claim. Health claims are a different category. They're actually more accurately described as disease prevention claims. That's when a company puts something on the label like, if you eat a diet low in sodium, it will help your hypertension, or something to that effect. That's a disease prevention claim. Just to use the word healthy on a product label, the product has to meet the criteria for low fat, which is 3 grams or less fat per reference amount or serving. And there are some variations in the ones I'm reading off depending on the product category, because products have different densities and weights per common household serving size. So there are some variations, but it is all spelled out in the regulations, and it wasn't put together in a way to create a level playing field so that the product category is properly represented for the most common serving size for that category.
So what do you think about layering this kind of star system that Hannaford has on top of what's already out there in terms of helping the consumer?
I do believe that there might be some confusion if the products that are not getting the stars or as many stars as the consumer might have a loyal following to a product like Healthy Choice or something. And if the criteria that the company followed was the FDA criteria to use the word healthy, and Hannaford is using a different criteria, yes, there could be some confusion there.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us, Lauren. Lauren Swan is a nutrition consultant who specializes in food labeling and marketing communications, and she joined us from her office in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Lillian Sonnenberg, what are the chances that adding this star system onto what's already out there is just going to add to people's confusion?
Well, I think if you just use the star system as one system in terms of guiding you to pick a nutritious diet without sort of bringing in all the other items from the label, I think it can be a good system. Again, I think it's a lot of education. People need education in terms of nutrition, and I think it's helpful. I think it's really helpful. There's just a lot of information out there. So it is a lot to wade through everything. But I think if you look at it as a contained system, it is a helpful way for someone to pick a healthy diet. And I think what's interesting is for people who have access to that supermarket, I think just go through and look at the products you usually get. That's what I did when I went on Sunday. And I just sort of evaluated, well, what met the star system, what didn't? And then it triggered me to say, well, what could I substitute instead? Because there is a lot of interest in eating healthy these days, and it's getting even bigger. And I think people need this kind of guidance.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Lillian.
You're welcome.
Lillian Sonnenberg is a nutritionist and senior manager of the Massachusetts General Hospital's Ambulatory Nutrition Services. She joined us from member station WBUR in Boston, Massachusetts. And when we come back from a short break, singer-songwriter Vusi Moshla Sela performs here in Studio 3A and takes your calls. I'm Lynn Nerius, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.